am Connor from the House of El.
And I am Ray from the House of Zod.
We are two of the many, many survivors of Krypton's destruction, and we have made our home in Australia, and dare I say, have become Australians, for better or worse. But we have also decided to read Superman comics, read Superman books, watch Superman shows, cartoons, movies, basically everything Superman, and from an Australian perspective as well. Whether you're a seasoned fan, like me,
or whether you are coming in fresh, wide-eyed, and wanting to learn more like me, then this podcast is for you. Join us for our bi-weekly adventures available on all good podcast catchers.
But just search for Last Sons of Krypton, a Superman podcast. We'll be coming to you from Australia or some cosmic dimension, wherever we are that week.
Up, and away!
I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And you're listening to the DCU podcast. This week we are covering Green Lantern, Beware My Power. Now, I didn't realise that we needed a gritty Green Lantern film.
Yeah, I'm not sure we got one, but like more gritty than maybe some of the ones we've seen.
Yeah. So this film continues in the Tomorrowverse, which is the kind of the second attempt at a kind of interconnected film universe that DC has done with their animated films. This one's also getting rebooted very quickly because it's so there's a trilogy of Infinite Crisis films, one of which came out 3 weeks or 3 days ago, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And those literally this week. And then that'll be the end of the Tomorrowverse because they have to reboot this off before James Gunn as well, apparently. I don't know.
Do they?
So, the film follows John Stewart Green Lantern. It is adapting parts of Zero Hour Crisis in Time, the Ran Fanagar War, and Emerald Twilight. Which, it is one thing, there is a lot of... If you were someone that wasn't familiar with DC... There is a lot of things being thrown at you very quickly.
But honestly, I think sometimes films don't do that enough as well. Like, I would rather have the information fed to me like that and have the assumption that I can follow it anyway.
Yeah.
Because what do you really need to know? There's a war going on.
Aye.
Do you know? And it's just like, if I think a lot of the time we do, like, because we get very obsessed with knowing all the things or knowing ins and outs. But honestly, a lot of the time it's pretty simple to pick up. You don't pick up all the details, but you manage, you know. And then you can go back and fill in, I guess.
So we start the film with following John Stewart, who is a former Marine and a Medal of Honor recipient. He is obviously going through a severe amount of trauma because of that. He keeps having, throughout the film, having flashbacks. He ends up even fighting with guys who are trying to set a homeless man on fire. The opening of this...
I mean, it's pretty... Isn't that what happens these days, you know?
It's going hard, I'll give it that. It's certainly trying... It's swinging for the moon, at least.
Yeah.
It just so happens, whilst he's there, that a guardian from Oa is flying to Earth. John Stewart, immediately when the ship crashes, he runs in immediately, and it turns out the guardian ends up going, "Oh no, I was looking for you."
Yeah, they're doing better than they were at finding who they want the rings to go to, clearly.
Well, the way it's being depicted, it almost seems like they're at the point of, rather than kind of going, who's the nearest worthy person to where this ring is, they actually seem to be looking out people.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I mean, but I'm not sure that is usual, but it's it works.
It's not, but I suppose it works from a, we have to explain why this particular guy...
Why we need another military guy.
Yeah. So... the second that John is presented with the ring... Well, the ring jumps onto his hand. And isn't going anywhere.
No. That's its point. It picks and then it stays.
So... John then goes, is there anyone that can explain what's happening to the ring? And the ring goes, yeah, yeah. And then flies him into the Justice League Watchtower.
Yeah.
The only members of the Justice League that we see in this film are Martian Manhunter and Vixen. And Green Arrow.
Mm-hmm. I enjoyed them.
Yeah, I think it's Jimmy Simpson plays Green Arrow. It's Aldous Hodge who plays John Stewart. I think this came out within like a month of Black Adam where he played Hawkman.
Really? Is that? Oh yeah, it is.
It can't be that far apart because it's, well, it was July 2022.
When was Black Adam? Seems like
I will have a look. October 2022.
Okay.
So it was 3 or 4 months.
Yeah, well, he did better as Stewart.
Yeah. So, Martian Manhunter and Vixen fight with John, who's still not quite... Because at no point does anyone explain to him what the ring does.
No.
He's able to sort of fight them off until they notice, oh wait, he's wearing a Green Lantern ring. That's also probably why he got through our security.
Yeah.
Which is a little ominous.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would also mean that someone else would very easily get through security, who really shouldn't at the moment. The Justice League mention that the Guardians aren't talking to them at the moment, and the ring reveals that it actually previously belonged to Hal Jordan.
Da, da, da.
Which it carries the implication that Hal Jordan is dead.
If only, right?
Oh yeah, I forgot. You like Guy Gardner, don't you?
No, I absolutely despise Guy Gardner.
What am I thinking of? I don't know.
Reyna, the best Green Lantern. I actually quite like Hal, but like everyone else hates him, so I'm just I'm talking for the people here. Like I think he's alright, but he's hated, so.
Anyway, so Green Arrow wants to go and investigate because the best person to go on a space traveling adventure is Discount Archery Batman.
I like him as well.
But it's
he's not like Batman. No, that's rude. No. Green Arrow. Be nice. Be respectful.
The one thing they do mention, however, is that Martian Manhunter can't go. And
he'd be far too useful.
One, he'd be far too useful, and it's basically they kind of go, well, Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman aren't here at the moment, so I'm wondering if this is happening the same time as there's a film where those three are on another planet.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so John then says, well, I need to go too because I need to give this ring back because I don't want it. Because he is desperate to get rid of this ring. So, reluctantly, it is Green Arrow and Green Lantern for the rest of this film. I also don't understand why Vixen doesn't come along, but maybe there's only so much...
They don't want any women.
Either that, or there's only so so many lines they wanted to play pay Keisha Sharp for. I don't know.
Is she expensive? How much should I have heard of her?
I don't know.
Okay.
They start traveling on the ship that crash landed on Earth because it's repaired itself. Whilst the Guardian, that was another, the Guardian when he dies burns up into ash. I don't know if that's a thing or if that's so there's no evidence. I don't know.
I don't remember. I think it might be a thing.
So the ring is able to set the ship up to fly to Oa. Whilst that's happening, John Stewart gets a history lesson on what the Green Lanterns are. Also, I should say were, because when they arrive to Oa, it is smashed to pieces.
I wonder who could have done that.
There are lantern corpses everywhere. Who are wearing Green Lantern uniforms, even though they've not got their rings. So there's a number of different... all the kind of famous lanterns. I actually think Guy Gardner might be one of them. I'm not quite sure.
I didn't really pay that much attention to that bit, I have to say.
They then go to the museum under the main symbol, where there are various statues of famous Green Lanterns, including Sinestro, who they discuss. And the biggest statue, which is Hal Jordan.
What a hero.
Yes, because Hal Jordan is the biggest hero in this film, and absolutely is the most wonderful person. He gets built up this whole film. I wonder what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's pretty cool anyway, though.
Also, they managed to find a battery for the ring as well.
Oh, yeah, the little lantern. Very nice.
And then just as John's ring starts to finally come off, Hawk Girl attacks.
Yeah, that was big deal.
So this is the Thanagarian version of Hawk Girl, who we have seen before, and have even seen before in a relationship with John Stewart Green Lantern, but that was the first five episodes, I think.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
Anyway, so I'm gonna have to edit. There's so many anyway. So Hawk Girl eventually stops attacking.
It's a real case of just stop fighting.
Stop fighting, mainly because John is trying to crush her with a Green Lantern truck. And the ring's actually sitting there going, you can't kill her. You can't kill her. You're not allowed. Killing is bad.
I mean, it's good they have these standards.
Yeah. So when they talk to Hawk Girl, Hawk Girl says she was investigating an attack from the Rannians on the planet. She shows video footage of a Rannian ship landing on Oa just before the attack happened. And it's explained that the Rannians and the Thanagarians are in the middle of a war.
Yeah, often.
The Lanterns were actually in some sort of alliance with Ran.
Interesting, yeah.
And they mentioned that whilst there had been a war, it had been resolved, and a peace agreement had come between the two planets, and to the point where they were even going to use Zeta beams to basically build the wormhole between the two.
I didn't pay attention to details like that. I was just like, okay, they're fighting.
And what happened is that for some reason, whilst Hal Jordan was there, the Thanagarian, the Rannian side of the two ships, suddenly turned and fired down on the planet of Thanagar, and ended up, through space magic, putting the two planets really close together.
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't do Isla Planet any good.
No, not really.
Weirdly, putting a planet in a completely different solar system and then having it close enough to another planet to affect their gravity as well doesn't end well. And the war's back on.
They like fighting, though. These are all, like, fighty places.
Also, we see that Hal Jordan got blasted by the full beam and is presumed dead.
Uh-oh.
So, Green Arrow and John then are very insistent. Well, we should really talk to the Rannians and get their side and see what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, John Stewart has gone from, well, I've got this ring and I should at least keep hold of it if we're going to go into hostile territory.
Yeah, yeah.
And he gets taught the Green Arrow Oath, which, considering the rest of the kind of the tone of the rest of this film, seems especially out of place.
Yeah.
So they arrive on an outpost of Ron that has been the centre of some fighting.
Yes, it was raided.
Only for a Zeta beam to fire right next to them.
Mm.
And emerging from it is Adam Strange.
Hooray! Very beardy.
Now, I ended up looking into this. Do you remember, this would be a while ago, we watched a short film with Adam Strange in it?
Yes, I do remember that. Yes. I don't remember what happened in it. I remember we watched an Adam Strange introduction.
Yes. That film is considered a direct prequel to this.
Yeah, that makes sense. So this is all the same, yeah.
So outside the change of voice actor, this is...
It's quite a big change.
I mean, voice actors in animated films. How many different people have voiced Batman and Superman at this point?
Yeah, but how many millions of different Batmans have we seen?
So Adam Strange, it's actually implied that this is immediately after the end. So he's even wearing the same clothing, he's got the same long beard.
Yeah.
And the second that Adam Strange and Hawkgirl lock eyes, they start fighting.
Yeah, it's good.
After the two of them are broken up, John Stewart points out to Hawkgirl, well, we do need to interrogate him.
And she's like, yes.
Oh, okay, fine. If we're going to torture him before we kill him, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
So Adam learns of the death of the Guardians. It's established that everyone assumed Adam Strange is dead because he disappeared years ago.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they even mentioned later on, because you see the Thanagarians and the Rannians fighting there, that was the first war that was then resolved for the peace to happen.
Yeah.
For what then happened in the kind of build up to this film. The four of them is up. That is now our party for the rest of the film.
Mm-hmm.
Is Green Arrow, Green Lantern, Adam Strange, and... Well, I don't think they ever call her Hawk Girl in the film. I think they call her Shiara for the whole film. Also, at this point, it becomes very clear that Jon Stewart has great aptitude for the Lantern Ring.
Yeah, I mean, everyone always seems to... Oh, yeah, I get it.
Yeah. It's almost like it's designed specifically to be incredibly user-friendly.
Yeah, they're not spending their time going, what do you mean I have powers now? I know this nutty little suit. Well, yeah.
And at least this suit isn't 100% CGI.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, that's one thing, because at first I thought it was a coincidence, and then the end of the film makes it clear that this is actually a deliberate choice. The whole time, Jon Stewart's still wearing a jacket and jeans over the Green Lantern uniform. So they arrive at the two planets where battle is raging in space. And I will actually give them credit. Mm-hmm. They managed to both make it clear that this is a hugely spectacular battle and show that is a very, very bad thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's actually nice to see a film that at least goes, yeah, war isn't actually good. Yes, you love these big battles, but no. This is awful. Doesn't help that I think this is also starting to trigger John as well. So,
yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I didn't really get him being triggered so much. I just thought he was just being a military dude. Mm-hmm. But I can see how you could read it that way.
So they find a leader within the running command. They save his ship from falling into a star.
Mm-hmm.
He claims, his name, Captain Cantus, that's the guy.
Yeah.
So Adam Strange grants them access. Also, every time Adam Strange talks to Iranian, there is a, oh, I thought you were dead.
Yeah, yeah. Beep, beep, beep. Drumming it home.
Oh, you are really Adam Strange.
Mm-hmm.
We trust you now.
As if that doesn't happen in so many films.
There is a lot of. There's a lot of times they repeat plot points in this film. To be fair.
Yeah, it becomes a little bit interminable, but you know when there's actual plot, it's good.
So, Cantus then makes it very clear: Ran did not attack Oa. We have no idea what you're talking about. We have, however, made a planet-destroying gun out of the Zeta Beam transporter.
As you do.
And we're going to blow up this planet that is in very close proximity to us, right? And that's going to have no ill consequences for us at all.
Yeah. Because that's what they do. This is like DC War World.
Also, literal. No, that's a couple of films away.
That's why I said literal, not as in the film.
So Captain Cantus then, after being saved, goes, oh well, I'm just now going to do a kamikaze attack instead. Which then Hawkgirl is kind of like, well, that's probably the best way you could go. I don't like Hawkgirl in this film.
I just don't find it that interesting, but then I don't find most of them that interesting.
So, after leaving the battlefield, Hawkgirl and Adam Strange work together to realise that this entire war has been perpetuated by one ship that can imitate both Ranian and Thanagar ships.
Well, that's useful. I wish I had that skill.
And that it's probably at another bay. And it's probably, well, we've managed to trace the ship to this asteroid field. When they arrive at the asteroid field and find, after a rocket chase, they find a base. They are then attacked by Yellow Lanterns.
Mm-hmm.
Led by Sinestro. Who,
hooray, Sinestro.
Really does not like John. Well, he's the last Green Lantern. That makes sense, I suppose.
It does make sense.
And he's able to successfully steal John's ring.
That is pretty cool.
So, our four heroes are locked up in a cell where they find Hal Jordan.
Da da da.
And they then explain what happened, which is when Hal was hit, oh, it was Sinestro that must have sabotaged the experiment. Hal then explains what happened to him, which is he then let his ring go, and Sinestro was going to... He thought Sinestro was going to kill him, but instead he's kept him in prison the whole time, and that's definitely what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, Sinestro then says, oh, I was listening in on this whole thing, and I now know about the super weapon.
Yeah, because of course you weren't listening in before.
Yes. However, after he leaves, Hawkgirl, it turns out, was hiding an end metal knife in her boot.
Always love when they bring in rubbish like the nth metal.
And they even go, oh, that nth metal, the hardest substance in the universe.
The stupidest substance in the universe.
And that allows Hal to dig through to a wire that then switches off the laser barrier that's keeping them all trapped.
Hooray.
Because there's absolutely no other way that you could keep them confined other than yellow light beams.
Yeah.
So the team then attack some of the yellow lanterns, and Hal immediately goes to killing.
Yeah, Hal's, you know, we find out Hal's a bit of a killer, so.
Yeah, so Green Arrow is taken aback by this and going, Hal, you don't kill people.
Well, you know, that is previously true.
And Hal looks and says, well, I'm a Zack Snyder Green Lantern. No, he doesn't. He instead, he just goes, oh no, I was being tortured as well.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Hal is then able to guide John into getting the ring back.
Mm-hmm.
And also grabbing other equipment whilst they're at it. So Hal has joined our team as the ship then runs for, I think it's for Ran itself, the actual planet.
Mm.
When they arrive, Sinestro is already firing upon the barrier outside the planet.
Mm. He's very feisty.
The good guys are able to get in. They are able to get right through to Ran High Command and convince Command that, you guys have been deceived. Someone's been perpetuating this war. If you actually fire this weapon, you're going to kill a load of innocent people. They then are able to talk to the man, Sardath, who is the man who actually built the weapon.
A doomsday weapon.
Who is also the father of Alana, who is Adam Strange's
wife
who died in the showcase.
Dies in almost every time you
Yep, because
it's like, what's like the Batman's point parents. What's the point of the origin?
What is the point of having a female character in comic books if we can't fridge her, damn it?
Well, I mean, that's the origin. It's not you know, I mean, like, it's not the most famous case of it, and he doesn't pop up all that much. But yeah.
So, the weapon is so very, very secret in its location, and there's no way anyone could know where it is, that we're not even going to tell you the coordinates. We're just going to use a Zeta Beam to teleport you over here. So, inevitably, Sinestro follows them.
Yeah, because, you know, of course he's going to.
So a fight breaks out between our team and the various yellow lanterns, including Hal Jordan, who again is absolutely not hesitating to kill. However, what he does do after a while is he disappears off the battlefield. I wonder what he could be doing. And meanwhile, just as Sinestro is about to kill John and has taken the ring off him...
Again...
John Stewart kills him with the Green Lantern ring, at least it's kind of implied to be accidental.
No, it is implied to be accidental of it.
Basically, he gets... it goes through Sinestro.
Mm-hmm.
And while Sinestro is dying, he says, oh, it's fine, my master's going to kill you anyway.
Who could Sinestro's master possibly be?
I have no idea.
It's a dumb answer.
So, John then goes up to the command, noticing that various Rannians have been slaughtered after being shot from behind. So, after defeating the various Yellow Lanterns, they all follow to find that Hal has successfully convinced Sardath to hand over all the information to use the weapon. And that the only other way you could get that information is inside Sardath's head, and Hal then kills Sardath.
He's not a good guy.
John then fires Green Lantern bullets at Hal, and nothing happens. Because it turns out that Hal Jordan is the villain of the film!
It makes sense, they want to establish John Stewart.
So, Hal was force-fed a parasite called Parallax.
Oh god, did I not quote that bit to you? It sounded
you
so sounded so filthy. Sinestro infested me with his alien parasite, and then you see the parasite squirming down his throat.
And going into his mouth as well, which is just kind of like...
That's kind of funny, but it just sounded dirty. It sounded like that. Literally they just had sex.
Yeah. So, when Sinestro did this, he thought, oh, this will make Hal subservient to me. Instead, it made Hal stronger. So Hal and Sinestro were the people that attacked Oa.
Mm-hmm.
And after killing all the Green Lanterns, which is implied to be like 12.
Yeah, it is. There should be more than that, but yeah.
Once he killed, however many he killed enough that he has everyone else's rings.
Yes, he has hands full of rings.
And that he now plans to become a god, wiping the universe clean with his planet-killing gun and his 10 lantern rings. So as he starts to charge up the weapon to destroy both planets at the same time, Hal and John fight. Hal is quite obviously winning until it becomes clear, oh wait, it's the amount of willpower, not the amount of rings, that determines how much power you have.
Yeah, but they're both being Green Lanterns. They both should have the same kind of levels of willpower. This is when the Green Lantern thing kind of falls off its rails a bit.
And it's also, it's green infused with yellow, which I thought that was like a very established thing, is that you couldn't use...
Yeah,
I don't know.
It usually is, but you know, hey.
But anyway, whilst the fight's happening, it becomes very clear, this weapon is going to fire and there's nothing we can do to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
So Adam Strange leaves the port.
He's a boy.
And he's like, I know what I need to do. Please look after the planets for me. I'll be back. Well, I don't think he even says, yeah, I'll be back. So, as the fight goes on between Hal and John, it ends with John finally actually getting all of his suit revealed and successfully stripping all the rings off of Hal, apart from one. Hal is still able to have John at his mercy, has the knife coming down, And Green Arrow's the one that kills Hal.
Which is fair.
Which...
The hero in his own right. I mean, like, Hal doesn't have anything to protect him from it unless he makes something to protect himself from it.
Yeah.
It just means that he, like other people, underestimated Green Arrow.
I didn't underestimate him. I just said in a... When you have the option between him, Vixen, and Martian Manhunter, he's the third person you'd pick.
Maybe. I mean, you didn't really like Vixen in it much either, so who knows?
I liked Vixen. She just didn't do anything in the... She had, like... Anyway, I'm getting off the point. So, despite this, the beam still fires, but Adam Strange is able to fly into the beam and then teleport it to somewhere else in the universe. So another planet's about to have a very bad day.
Yeah, but they don't care about that.
But not one that we see, so that's fine!
Yeah.
So the team return to Earth. John releases all the lantern rings back into space to find new masters. And Hawkgirl leaves. And
so they're going back to finding their Green Lanterns the normal way.
Yep.
In the absence of engineered, let's look for who's the best.
Yeah, the rings.
Well, they've got nobody. They've got nobody left to do it. They're all dead, so the rings kind of have to do it their own way. Yeah, the rings have done it well for years. It's fine.
Because there's absolutely nothing inherently scary about the idea of space cops.
Hmm.
So, and John Stewart and Green Arrow go to dinner.
Wait. They're having a date?
Well, I think it's more like a, let's go eat something and have a toast to absent friends.
Oh, okay. Mine was more interesting.
It would have been more interesting, but why would anything interesting come out of this
film? It was an okay film.
I'm being harsh.
There's a lot taken from the comics. There's a lot of... I think it establishes John Stewart well.
Yeah.
As the sort of new Lantern. All these things, they always pull from the same stories. I mean, like, how many times have we seen Flashpoint? So I don't really mind if we get Hal and Parallax again. There's done
well,
a lot
to be fair,
differently.
Actually, to be fair, we've not had this storyline in film.
Right, that's what I mean. That's... I mean, like, but, you know, to say, like, oh, you know, Hal again, doing Parallax again. I mean, it's like, we haven't seen it in the films before, and it's fine. Yeah, I quite enjoyed it. I enjoyed it as a cartoon that I still wouldn't go to the cinema for, but it was relatively enjoyable film. I was, like, seeing Adam Strange as well.
I think it was fine.
I mean, I don't think any of them are great, so we're
I did find, the only thing I maybe found, I thought the tone was a bit jarring to have a Green Lantern story, but then it's outside of the actual, the Green Lantern oath. I felt the Green Lantern oath in particular really stands out as weird in this film.
It's kind of weird that he has to be taught it and then they do it at the end, and it's just like, I mean, I don't hate it, but it was a little bit shoehorned.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't hate it. I mean, I do like
that they actually managed to bring a showcase into something.
Mm.
Which is good.
Yeah.
I do like that. I love that aspect of it. And see, the showcases do actually lead to stuff, which is quite appropriate because we're not far away from...
I was going to say, you're already saying that because we've got another one coming up.
though we do have a film before that.
I know, I said coming up, I didn't say next.
So, coming up before that, however, is... Batman and Superman, Battle of the Super Sons.
Could be fun.
Though it should actually probably be Superboy and Robin. So this film does not tie into anything else. It's just it's his own little continuity. And it's also saying here, this is the first fully CGI animated film from DC.
Oh, yeah, it's already sad.
Yeah. But hey, this is the first time we're getting Jonathan Kent, so that's something.
Yeah, it's something. It depends how well it's done.
I mean, the reviews seem to be fairly
just
good.
Just him existing doesn't do it for me. It needs to be good.
Yep. After that, we have, as previously kind of mentioned, the DC Showcase coming up. The films in that being Commandy, The Last Boy on Earth, The Losers, Blue Beetle, and Constantine House of Mystery.
Cool.
After that, we've got Legion of Superheroes, which is the next film in the Tomorrowverse.
That's this one, right?
That's the same universe as this one. I do like that this kind of go round with the universe. It isn't just Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Batman, the Teen Titans, Batman.
Yeah.
Look, they've done one Batman story split in two parts, and the rest has all been different heroes.
Yeah, they've been trying some other stuff.
I actually just like the fact, as much as I kind of I have had a wee pop at this one, I do like the fact we're actually getting a Green Lantern John Stewart movie.
Yeah, it's cool.
So after we cover Legion of Superheroes, we'll be doing Batman: The Doom That Came to Gotham, which is an adaptation of the comic book of the same name.
Mm-hmm.
And seems to be kind of invoking Eldritch horror.
Oh, I'm not so into that.
Yeah. And after that, we'll be covering, I just need to make sure I get the exact timeline right on this. The first part of Justice League crossed with RWBY? I don't know if that's said. I've seen the name. I've never seen anything to do with them.
Yeah, me neither.
All I know is that when I originally put this in the list, this was meant to be one film, and then by the time it was actually released, it's been cut in two. So it certainly should be interesting.
Yeah.
And it looks like, at very least, they have hired some voice actors for prominent roles, which is good.
Well, like I said, I think I don't care if I recognise the voice actors if they're good. Like, yeah, so sometimes I don't think it's always a benefit to have them hiring people we know of. Like,
so that's the next five films that we've got coming up. Yeah, some interesting stuff coming up. Have you appeared in any of our podcasts recently?
Probably. we caught up
this
with Moonlight.
This comes out on Friday coming.
Yeah, so Moonlight into the Moonlight podcast. We caught up on the end of the run of Moonlight and the new Vengeance of the Moonlight number one. And on Immortal Iron Fist, Sons of the Dragon, we talked about the 50th anniversary of Iron Fist, which is this year, what Marvel's going to do for it. And
plus the fact Iron Fist is now canon to the MCU.
We didn't talk about that yet because that's happened since the podcast recording.
Right, okay.
The Timeless issue, Timeless 2024, which has Moon Knight and Luke Cage in the future. And has some appearances from Danny as well. But to say how would be a spoiler.
Fair enough. Grizz and I, meanwhile, are still doing our robots. We're covering Robot Wars Series 6.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it's such a different atmosphere when we're covering a series we actually enjoy.
Yeah, I bet. Because they're long series as well, so.
Oh yeah, but it's like we're recording next week. Once we record next week, we'll have five in the can.
Well, that's good.
So we'll have over a month. We'll have over a month to record the next thing.
That's good. Very nice.
Anyway, we will be back in 2 weeks' time, and. we'll be watching the Super Sons. Hooray.
Hooray.
Thank you for listening to the DCAU podcast. You can follow us on social media. We're at DCAU podcast on Twitter. Or you can email in to us with either feedback on our show or on the movies we're about to watch at DCAUpodcast@yahoo.com. The DCAU podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike 4.0 International License. Thank you for listening.